ماشي.
Just a few verses as well from Exodus. I nearly asked Val to read this, but I think she's done enough. A few verses from Exodus chapter 4, and reading from verse 1. I can turn the page. Moses answered, "What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand, take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put the hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Let's just bow in prayer, shall we? "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Redeemer." We come to listen to what God is saying to us this morning, and the psalm that Val read has that few words, "My time is in his hands." My time is in his hands. And this just got me thinking, hands. And the subject of hands is incredible, really, because it's right through the Bible. And the verse that I want to impress upon you this morning is the verse from Exodus here, where the Lord says to Moses, "What is in your hand? What have you got in your hand?" Now, I've forgotten my staff. He says, "A staff," and I was going to bring one here. It's perhaps a good job, because I was going to throw it on the floor, and if it had turned into a snake, I think we'd all run, wouldn't we? I don't think it would have happened, but this is what happened to Moses, and you never know, do you, when God is in it. "What is in your hand?" "A staff." And the word "hand," what is in your hand? And "hands" appears in the Bible 1,466 times. And no, I didn't count them. I looked it up. But "hand" is only occurs 462 times. The large number indicates the importance of our hands. Our hands are so important. In fact, I would say that the hands are the workhorse of your body. You think about it. The hands are the workhorse of the body. The hand is made up, I'm not medical really, but I looked again and looked this up. The hand is made up of 27 bones. 27 bones in your hand, in each hand. And it has fingers. The fingers, I never understood this. The fingers have no muscles in themselves. I always thought the fingers had muscles in them. But no, they don't. They just have sinews which go back to a muscle in the palm and the back of the forearm of the arm. So it's just interesting. The hand, it's made up, isn't it? It's a marvellous part of the body. And then, of course, you know, all of us know, that our fingerprints are unique. These fingerprints of mine are unique to me, and yours are unique to you. And that's, of course, they can tell you if you're a criminal or not. But they can tell you by your fingerprints. And God made us as we are. God made our hands. And he says in Psalms, your hands made me and formed me. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And in Job we read, your hands shaped me and made me. The hand. It's the most important, or one of the most important parts of the body. It's the workhorse of the body. The many proverbs about the hands. Many hands make light work. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. The handwriting is on the wall. And all who say the holy of the Lord, so I'm not reading that very well, will stand in his holy place. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. How important, as we come into God's presence today, that we have clean hands and a pure heart. And we can only do that when we come to Jesus and ask him to forgive our sins and cleanse us afresh. Three things in the Old Testament I want to bring to your attention. What is in your hand? God speaks to Moses, and he asks him to go to Pharaoh. And I haven't read the whole story, but it's an interesting story, because it's just like you and I. He makes that many excuses. He doesn't want to go. He can't speak. He's not eloquent, and he's this and he's that. Moses doesn't really want to go. But God has, this man has a project before him. God has got his hand on his life to such an extent that virtually nobody else could do it. If you think about it, Moses was the only Israelite that was brought up in Pharaoh's household and taught and trained in all the ways of the household of Pharaoh. He was the only one. And here he was making excuses and saying, no, Lord, I don't really want to do that. I can't speak, and so on, if you read the passage. God had his hand on him. God said to Moses, tell him, I am has sent me. Tell the elders of the Israel that they will listen. And then, of course, he had these miracle things that he could show them, that God had appeared to him, and he wanted him to lead them out of Pharaoh's clutches, out of Egypt. Moses still argues with the people, even when he has all those miracles. And the Lord said, what is in your hand? And Moses goes and tells him, a staff. And he takes it by the tail, as God says, and he comes back to a staff from a snake, etc. And if you still don't believe that, God says, if they still won't believe that, take some water and it'll turn into blood. What is in your hand? Moses, your staff, is in your hand, and I'm going to use you, and I want you to be my servant to take and to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. The second person that I want to just bring your attention to is Samson. Now, Samson was different. Samson knew that he had the call of God on his life. But he did made all sorts of mistakes. One mistake was his marriage. One mistake was he told them the secret of his long hair, there was the long hair was in his strength, and they cut it off when he was asleep, and all this, you may have heard, remember the story. Samson. But Samson was different to Moses. Although God had got his hand on Samson, he was different. And he was different in the sense that he took the initiative himself. And we read that he took a jawbone, a dead donkey's jawbone from the ground. The Bible says he reached out his hand and he took this dead donkey's jawbone. Now, you wouldn't think that was under God's way of purpose, would you? But God had a purpose in it, and he killed 1,000 men with this jawbone. Now, that sounds horrific, but they were men that were opposed to God's way and purpose. And God, we read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he struck down 1,000 men. And the third person that I want to bring to you in the Old Testament is David. David was again different again. God had his hand upon this young man, probably only late teens, and he was sent to see his brothers at war with the Philistines. You know the story. It's a marvelous story. And his three eldest brothers were there ready to fight. They got a bit angry with him, the eldest brother, and said, "What do you do here, David? You only just come to look and waste time and et cetera, et cetera." And he was really mad at his young brother coming along. But his young brother, David, had a mission. He didn't go there knowing what God would do with him. He didn't go there expecting God to move. But God was in his life. In his life and in his lifetime, I mean, I can't imagine this happening, but he did. It's, the Bible says, and I believe it's true, he killed a bear and he killed a lion when it attacked the sheep. What a man. What a young man that was. That was some challenge, something to do. And in the story of David and Goliath, Goliath challenged the people of Israel, the soldiers, to send out a man. Send a man that'll do the job. Send the man that I can fight. And of course, nobody dare go because he was a big man and tough and all the rest of it. Well versed in how to tackle somebody else in a fight. But David offers to fight. Saul tries to put his armour on him, on David, and he puts it on and he can hardly walk. He says, "No, I can't do with this," and he took it off. He says, all he took was his sling and then he picked up 5 stones. He offered to fight, and he was so confident. Goliath comes out and says, "What am I? Am I a dog that you should send a lad like this to fight me? I want a man to fight, not a lad." And David says, "I come in the mighty power of God Almighty, whom you defy." And God gave him that strength. And he took 1 stone. I think it's marvellous. You know how clever some of these people can be with a sling. They can be very clever and very accurate. It's same as people with a bow and an arrow, how accurate they can be. And he took 1 stone, put it in his sling and swung it round, as you know, and he hit the giant on the forehead here, and he fell to the ground. And he was able to grab his sword, because he hadn't got a sword, and he cut his head off. This man was beaten by the power of Almighty God through David. Now, David did not go to that army with the intention of fighting a giant. He did not go with that intention. But in his hand he had a sling. He took his sling and he picked up 5 stones out of the brook, from the brook. It's what he had in his hand. And he used it for God's glory. You may not think it's to God's glory, but it was. It was to God's glory. What is in your hand? David, he used what is in his hand without being told. Moses had to be cajoled into saying, look, you're the man. Samson, again, used his strength and picked up a jawbone of an ass and used it for God. And now I just want to take you to the New Testament. In the New Testament, we read in John chapter 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000 men and children, and others were there as well, mothers and children. Jesus sees the crowd coming and he says to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? And Andrew overhears it and he says, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. How far will that go among so many? 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 small loaves, it says, and 2 fish. And Jesus took it, and they brought the lad took the. We don't read or hear much about this lad, but he must have been willing. He brought this in his hands to this special do, to hear Jesus. And here they are. They're saying, "Hey, can we have your lunch?" And he allows them to have his lunch for our Lord. And nobody thinks, well, what's that amongst so many? He can't do anything with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And as we read the miracle that happened, they said, pass it out. Jesus said, gave thanks to the Lord, to his Father. And he passed, they kept passing it out, and it kept coming and coming and coming. They fed the 5,000 with the loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fish. What a marvellous thing. That lad that morning did not intend on bringing 5 loaves and 2 fish to give them to Jesus through the disciples to feed 5,000. That was not his intention, but he was willing. He gave up his lunch and a miracle happened. What a story. The second thing that I want to bring to you in the New Testament is this. In Matthew's Gospel, we read that an unnamed woman came to Jesus with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume in her hands, which she poured on his head while Jesus was reclining at the table. The disciples grumbled and said, what a waste. It could have been sold and the money given to the poor. You know, there's always somebody to grumble, isn't there? And the disciples were just jumping on that situation, saying, oh, what a waste. And I don't know what I'd have thought if I'd have seen it. I might have thought the same. But this was done. Jesus says it was a beautiful thing that was done. She poured the perfume, Jesus said, on my body. She did it to prepare me for burial. She brought the perfume in her hands. She poured it on Jesus with her hands. She dried him with her hair using her hands. Hands are important. This unnamed woman had such a love for Jesus that she was willing to give this expensive jar of very expensive perfume and use her hands to give it to the Lord, to pour on him. What a story. And what it shows us, that the willingness of this woman to do that. A beautiful sign of love, using her hands. The last one that I want to bring to you is this. Again, what is in your hand? What is available? And I bring it to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and I'll just read the first few verses, if I can just turn to it quickly. Mark 5, and the first few verses. Starting at verse 2. I haven't got the right reading now. I can remember Dan doing this, getting the wrong reading. Mark chapter 2, not chapter 5. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word unto them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. They could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Four men, 16 hands used to bring this man and carry him, this paralytic, with their hands holding the bed, and took him to Jesus. Four men using the hands. Four men pulling a hole in the roof. I can't imagine that happening. I'd think the people underneath are thinking, what on earth is going on? What's going to drop on us next? And then the bed appears. And Nigel would tell you how to do this, how to lower a rope, because when you lower a coffin into the ground, you don't let it slide, do you, Nigel?
Try not to.
If you let the rope slide in your hand, it'll burn your hand. You do it hand over hand, down, let it down. And they let this bed down, hand over hand. I mean, they could have let it slide and they could have burned the hands with the rope, I don't know. But they let it down. They used their hands. This is the point of it. They used their hands. They didn't have to be told by God, use your hands, carry that man to Jesus. They did it. They had a love for this man. They had a feeling, a compassion for this man. And they took him to Jesus. 16 hands used to carry this man to Jesus, lower him down. And what does Jesus say to him? The men above watching, thinking, he's going to heal him now. And Jesus doesn't say that. He says, your sins are forgiven. And that caused a rumpus. What's he saying? Why? Only God can forgive sins. There was muttering going on in the crowd. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus said, I forgive your sins. Your sins have been forgiven, man. And then, of course, Jesus says, get up and walk. Get up. Roll your bed up and go. And we'll go home, walk. The healing happens. God-given abilities, these men use their hands. Each one of the people that I've mentioned had abilities. Some of them had to be cajoled. Moses had to be really told by God, look, I've chosen you. And the others, some of them did it off their own bat, even though God had given them that ability. And these men had that compassion, a God-given compassion. And the message to you and I today is that what is in your hand? I'm asking you, what is in your hand? What is in my hand? Jeff saw me on Wednesday and he says, a chainsaw. What is in your hand? What can you use? What have you got? And when you look through Scripture, it's not just what you can hold in your hand. It means more than that. Maybe your possessions is in your hand. It may be your money. It may be your influence, your talents. There are a number of things that your abilities, and more than that, whatever God has given you in your hand, he expects, at least I think he does, you to use in his kingdom? Are you using what's in your hand? These men will use their, have that compassion. Your Heavenly Father today is waiting to use what he has placed in your hands. Have you ever thought about that? How long is he going to wait? Are you using it already? Okay, that's great. Continue using it. But if you're not using what he's given in your hands, he's waiting for you to use that gift, that talent, that ability in his kingdom and for his glory. May each one of us dedicate our lives afresh to give what's in our hands, what we can give. And finally, I just want to mention one other person, and that's Noreen. And Noreen was such a great worker. And when she got spare time, which she did very rarely had, did she, Jeff? Very rarely. What was she doing? She used her hands, and she was always knitting. Knitting, because she had a compassion for those people that she was doing it for. Knitting, what did she knit? Scarves, I think. I can't remember for sure. But she had a compassion.
Scarves, hats, and mittens.
Yeah. I think that was marvellous. Noreen had that ability, she had that talent, she had that, and she was just able to use her hands in that way. And God expects us to use, not to do necessarily knitting, but whatever we've got in our hands, God expects us to use. May God help you and I to do that, whether it's a knitting needles or anything else. May God help us to do it for his name's sake. Amen. What is in your hand? We're going to sing as our last hymn now, which I can't remember.